I am a part of Deliverance Temple, where we love by living our vision every day. We connect with our Creator continually. We confess our deliverance consistently. We commit to serve creatively. We communicate Christ's love compassionately. Pastor Andre, feed me this word. Come on, would you put your hands together here? Amen. So last week, we were on the subject called After This. It was something that God dropped in my spirit because I do believe there will be an after this. And so we shared that. And one of the key components, I won't go through all the points, but one of the key components, we said that we must have resilience. And resilience is the capacity to recover quickly from difficulties and toughness. The ability of a substance or object to spring back into shape. In other words, the ability to bounce back. Even though we're going through this time globally, we have to be able to go through difficulty and toughness, and we have to be able to bounce back. And if we're able to do this, that, there will be an after this. But God dropped something in my spirit for this Sunday, and it is simply this: during this. It's no good to work on after this and throw away during this. We have to deal with what we're going through right now. We have to have some examples, some principles, and some advice. How do we handle this now? Because this is new. This is different. It's not the worst thing we've ever gone through, but it is different. And so we need to know, how do I handle it during this, in the middle of this, in the midst of this? What am I supposed to do? And let me get just a little country. What is we going to do? What are we going to do during this? And that's what I want to talk about this morning. And so we're going to put this up. We need resilience to get to and after this. But during this, we need resistance. We need resilience to bounce back after this. But in the middle of this, we need some resistance. So we're going to put up what resistance is. Resistance is the ability not to be affected by something, especially adversely. And when we say affected, we're all affected, but what we mean is affected so much that it changes who we are negatively. In other words, I have the ability to resist this thing souring me and my relationship with God, or souring me in my relationship with family, or souring me and making me throw in my faith, or souring me and making me give up on my dreams. I have to resist this. The Bible says we must resist the devil. Now, God didn't bring this. The devil brought this. But while we're going through this, God is helping us, but we still got to resist that old slew-footed, ugly, nappy-headed devil that we face with. We got to resist him. We can't just give in to negativity. We can't just give in to quitting. We can't just give in to the virus. We have to resist this. We got to stand against this. We got to have faith in this. We have to resist the temptation to panic in the pandemic. We have to resist the temptation to fear and be paralyzed with fear. We got to resist that and move in faith. During this, we must resist. And we have to have resilience after this. To get to after this, we got to bounce back and be resilient. But right now, we have to resist. And so that's going to give me 3 points that I'm going to preach from. And the first point is enduring this. So the first thing you need to be doing during this is enduring this. You have to be going through it. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Don't get stuck in it. Go through it. Another way to go through it, you have to endure it. You got to put up with some stuff. Everything's not going to be like you want. You got to go through it. You got to endure it. And so let's look at some scriptures. 2 Timothy 2 and 3. From the King James says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now, Sister Sharitha will remember this. Back in the day, almost every Sunday, somebody would break out with, I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. But the Bible says that if you're going to be a soldier for God, you got to endure hardness. It didn't say everything's going to be easy street. Life's not going to be a bowl of cherries. You're going to get disappointed. You're going to get lied on. You might be stabbed in your back. Your money might be funny. Your change might be strange. You might be working on your fourth marriage. Your kids may have walked out on you. Your kids may be locked up. But you got to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I don't want to throw in the towel right now. I don't want to quit right now. I'm still on the battlefield. And I'm not going to wait till the battle is over. I'm going to shout right now. I'm going to endure this. During this, you need to be enduring this. You need to be going through it. Now, we can't be spoiled brats and treat God like Santa Claus and make sure he's always dropping us off gifts and goodies in the middle of the night. And if he don't drop me off my gifts and my goodies, I'm going to be mad at him. I'm not going to praise him. I'm not going to read my word. I'm not going to pray. But wait a second, baby. As long as you're breathing his breath, he deserves a praise. Endure hardness as a good soldier. Next verse is James 1:12. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. There is a blessing for enduring this. And we're not just talking about earthly blessings, because it talks about the crown of life. There is another life. There is a next life. There is a next level called heaven. And I don't want to miss heaven just because I'm going through something on earth right now. Let me endure this, because nothing is too hard to make me miss heaven and miss glory and miss my King and miss my Savior. I got some folk I want to talk to. I want to talk to Adam and Eve. I want to know what they was doing in the garden. I cannot give up right now. I got some folk I want to talk to over there. I got some loved ones I got to see over there. I've got some miscarried babies that I've never met that I need to see over there. So I need to endure this here so I can get the crown of life and go over there. Always remember that. So let me change. That was in the English Standard Version, James 1:12. We're putting it up again, but we're going to put it in the King James Version. It says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. The Bible says all things work together for the good that love him and are called according to his purpose. That's a promise. Let's look at James 5:11. Behold, we count them happy which endure. In other words, we find joy even when we have to endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. When that word in King James says pitiful, it means he's very merciful. He's very caring. And then it says, when we look at the end of Job, he had double for his trouble. So you might be quarantined right now. You might be sick now. You might be broke now. But there is a double anointing. There's a double blessing. There's double glory if you can endure through this. So James says, we count folk who have to go through, we count it happy. We look at joy because we know there is an after this, as long as they endure during this. So we need to be enduring this. Jesus said it this way, or the scripture says it of Jesus, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. We all have a cross to endure. Now let's look at Matthew 24:13. And this is the last verse for this point. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved or delivered. It doesn't say he who starts off enduring. It says he who endures to the end, the same gonna get some deliverance. The same will be saved. The same will be rescued. So put up with what you have to put up with, because there is an after this, as long as you are enduring this during this. So point number one was enduring this. Point number two, somebody say point number two. Is now in parentheses I have cave, and I'll explain that just a little later. But now, in other words, what do I need to be doing now? Right now I'm quarantined. Right now I'm here. Well, let me start off practical. You need to be washing your hands now. Let me say something. Some of y'all should have been washing your hands before this, but I ain't got time to talk about before this. But right now, you need to be washing hands. You need to be disinfecting. So we know some of the practical things. Maybe you should be wearing a mask and social distancing and quarantining and self-quarantining. All those things are things we need to be doing now. But spiritually, how do we handle this right now? Of course, for the long term, we need to be enduring this. But what do we do in the meantime, in the now? The Bible says now faith is the substance of things hoped for. We are looking for the future. We have overcome the past, but we have to deal with the right now. Now, if you look at now and you look at the words backwards, it spells the word one. How you will win is determined what you will do right now. If you're going to be able to come on the other side and say we won, flip it around, it's based on what we are doing right now. So let's do this. Let's go to the life of David. Last week on After This, we went to the life of David. And so I don't want to go just to the life of David. I want to focus on a specific point in his life, the cave of David. So that's why I had cave in parentheses by the now. I want to look at what David did in a time where he was in a cave, because it reminds me of us in the house, stuck in the house. Some people say I'm stuck in the house, and other people say I'm safe in the house. It depends on how you look at it. But he was stuck in a cave, or he was safe in the cave, and I want to look at that to parallel that to us, how we are stuck in quarantine or safe in quarantine. So let's go to 1 Samuel 21 and 10. Scripture says, that day David fled from Saul and went to Achish, king of Gath. And so this is when he found out for sure through his friend Jonathan that Jonathan's dad Saul was trying to kill him. A couple things happened, and David wasn't for sure, but David kind of, his lightning fast mind came to him and said, this man tried to kill me. I need to get out of here. But he wanted to be sure. So once he was sure, he ran. Here's the crazy thing is that he ran to Achish, king of Gath. The king of Gath is one of the five kings that are the Philistine kings. So David had defeated the Philistine giant, and some months or years later, here he is running back to the enemy because of the things have changed. Because what was your enemy one day won't always be your enemy the next day. Things change. One thing about that crazy devil, he will switch it up on you. He'll fight you in one area today and hit you with something else tomorrow. And sometimes the only thing you can do is run. So let's look at verse 11. But the servants of Achish said to him, isn't this David, the king of the land? His reputation was big. Isn't he the one they sing about in their dances? Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. They said, ain't this the guy? And this is the reason why Saul was after him, is because the song came up that basically David was better than Saul. So looking at verse 12. Verse 12, David took these words to heart and was very much afraid of Achish, king of Gath. I want to pause just for a second. We are fighting fear, but that doesn't mean you won't be afraid. Some Christians act like they're not scared of nothing. No, no, you're going to have situations that are going to scare you, that are going to alarm you, that may concern you, may worry you. You don't stay there, but it's okay to have a healthy fear and say, I need to do something different. I have a healthy fear of being too close to people during this virus. I love y'all, but I'm not hugging nobody. I want to hug y'all, but I have a healthy fear, and I'm keeping a distance, not because I'm afraid and I don't have faith and I'm in fear, but sometimes the initial being afraid helps you with wisdom. So he ran to Achish, and then when he found out all these folk know about me, it scared him a little bit. Now we're going to drop down to 1 Samuel 22 and 1. David left Gath and escaped to the cave of Adullam. He ended up going into a quarantine. He ended up having to go inside. And sometimes the best thing for you is to go inside, not just your physical and literal house, but inside your spirit and inside yourself. Sometimes when you're scared out there, you got to go inside in here. And David went into the cave. When his brothers and his father's household heard about it, they went down to him there. He had his family with him. And in this time in quarantine, many of us are just with our families. And it's okay. It's building and rebuilding the family. One thing God is allowing to happen during this time is the family to be rebuilt. And so while David was running and ended up in the cave, his family came to him. So this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to be comparing David's cave to our coronavirus crisis. I'm going to be comparing David's cave to our coronavirus crisis. So his cave represents our quarantine. His cave represents us being stuck in the house. His cave represents the limitations that are on our life right now. So what are we going to be doing now during this when we are in our own cave? So let's look at 1 Samuel 22:2. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. When you're a leader, it doesn't make a difference if you're quarantining. People will still follow you. They'll find you, and they'll follow you. So David was in the cave, but people came to him. But it wasn't like the greatest of people. It was the folk in distress, the folk in debt, the folk that were discontented. So here's the, let's look at verse 3. And David went thence to Mizpah of Moab, and he said unto the king of Moab, let my father and my mother, I pray thee, come forth and be with you till I know what God will do for me. Interesting. David was planning and plotting, but he wasn't planning and plotting for himself. He was under pressure. And if he came too far out the cave, he could have died. Saul could have found him. But in his focus and in his mind is, number one, I need to take care of these men that are depressed, that are discontented, that are in debt. I need to lead the downtrodden. Number two, I need to take care of my family. I need to make sure my mama and my daddy are okay. Let's look at verse 4. And he brought them before the king of Moab, and they dwelt with him all the while that David was in the hold. He made sure his mama and daddy were okay. So that leads me to point number A under the now. So now has 3 points under it. Under the now, point number A is care for others in the cave or the crisis. Now, David is in his own personal crisis, his own personal quarantine, his own personal cave. We are in our own personal crisis, but what David shows us right now, we still need to be caring for others. We still need to be leading others. We still need to be praying for others. We still need to be thinking about others. When I go to my pantry, I thank God that there's food in my pantry. But it also reminds me during this time, somebody doesn't have food. So I'm trying to make sure somebody else has food. Because while you're in a cave or a crisis, what you'll do to help you go through this, during this, is you need to be looking out for somebody else. Number two, David took care of his mother and father, which represents the ancestors. Many of us are young, and we are not as susceptible to the virus as our older counterparts. But the reason why I'm staying in and disinfecting and washing my hands and social distancing and wearing masks is not just because I could be sick, but I don't want my mother and father, not just my mother and father, I mean our ancestors, our elderly. I don't want to put them at risk just because I'm okay. The first thing David said, I'm taking care of the folk who don't have what I have. And number two, I'm taking care of my ancestors. I'm taking care of mom and daddy. I'm making sure they're okay. You need to be praying for somebody that's in a nursing home. Yes, you can't go to the nursing home, but you can send your prayers. You need to be concerned about the elderly. You need to be praying for them. You shouldn't be going out gallivanting just because you want to get your hair and nails done and not be concerned about the elderly. When you are in a crisis time, what helps you come out of it is how you think about your fellow man. And that's what David showed us. Let's go to B. B is be creative in the cave and in the crisis. This is not the time to just relax and do nothing. During this time, right now, be creative in the cave and be creative in the crisis. Let's look at Psalms 142:1-2. It says, the heading says, Masculine of David, a prayer when he was where? In the cave. So that means this psalm was written while he was in the cave. In other words, he was creative in the cave. He was operating and functioning in his gift even though he was in the cave. Now, it wasn't his fault he was in the cave. He had done nothing wrong to be in the cave. And you didn't do anything wrong to bring the virus to your land. You probably didn't even travel and bring it here. And now you're stuck in the house. But I implore you and I beg of you, be creative while you're in the house. You've got time to do stuff. You should be writing business plans. You should be writing a book. You should be working on your music. You should be working on many things. You should be working around the house. You should be doing some spring cleaning. There's some stuff you should be doing. Netflix and chill is okay, but you can't do that the whole time while you're in quarantine. Unlock and unleash your creativity. Be creative. Do something that will revolutionize the world. It is in crisis time that many of the greatest inventions show up in the worst of times. Be creative in the crisis. Be creative in the cave. Unleash and unlock your creativity. One of your prayers in this time is, God, unlock my creativity. God, give me ideas. God, give me wisdom. God, help me journal. God, help me write. Help me do something that's going to help me after I come out of this. I'm not just living for this moment. I'm trying to do something during this so I can get to an after this. So let's read what he wrote. He wrote, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. Psalms 142. One of the things he wrote while he was in the cave. Psalms 142. 1 and 2. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice I cried unto the Lord, and I did make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. And then verse 5, which is already up there, says, I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. So that brings me to C, which is A, B, and C under now, and C is cry out to God in the cave and in the crisis. Number one, care for other people. Number two, be creative. Number three, cry out to God. This is not the time just to be stuck in the house with your faults. Talk to God. If you don't feel right, cry out to him. The Lord hears our cry. And sometimes all he's waiting for you is to open up your mouth and say, God, I can't do this by myself. God, I can't fix this. God, as long as I was out of the house, I was able to cause my addiction to succumb. But now that I'm in my house and I'm stuck in here, I feel that this addiction is going to rise back up. God, help me. God, fix me. God, clean me. God, wash me. God, cry out to God. Talk to him. Tell him, I don't know what's going on. I need your help. And I don't know what to do with the stimulus money. And I don't know what to do about this. And I don't know what to do about that. But use this time to cry out to God. Now, some of us are crying, but we're just crying as a pity party. Woe is me. We're crying, nobody likes me. Everything goes wrong for me. I thought 2020 was going to be my decade. And here I am, and nothing goes right for me. Boo-hoo, boo-hoo, boo-hoo. Why are you doing all that crying? You could be talking to God. You could be crying out to God and say, God, I lift up mine eyes to the hills from which comes my help. I could be crying out to God and saying, great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. I could be crying out to God, and God say, can't nobody fix it like you can fix it. And can't nobody turn it around like you can turn it around. So there is something you can do in the crisis. Cry out to him. He put pen to paper, but he let us know how he was feeling. And I love the reality of David, Sister Sarita. I love Sister Essence. I love how real he was. I love JB, how he wasn't playing church. He told God, I'm tired of this. This hurts. Folk is after me. I like how he was able to be real. Sometimes in church settings, we got to be fake. I'm blessed of the Lord and highly favored. But when you by yourself in the cave and in the crisis, you can tell God just how you feel. Sometimes you got a hat that says, oh, I'm too blessed to be stressed. But when you by yourself, you can tell God, I'm so stressed, I don't know if I'll ever get blessed. But I'm crying to you. I'm looking to you. I'm putting my hope in you. I'm putting my trust in you. I'm putting my faith to you. I'm crying out to you, but I know you will deliver. I love how David did it. Let's go to Psalms 142 and 7. I love his candor and his transparency and his realness in verse 7. Bring my soul out of prison. This is a prison for me. This isn't what I wanted to do. Last week we told you how he was anointed to be king. So he has an anointing to be king, and then he was stuck as a shepherd. But then he defeated the Goliath, and his life is moving up, and his life is going up. And the next thing you know, here he is stuck in the cave, anointed to be king and stuck in the cave. And he told God just how he felt. Bring my soul out of this prison. Some of us, before we had to be quarantined, our soul was already locked up. Not everybody that's walking out free of a jail cell is really free in their soul. Some people are in prison in their bodies. They're imprisoned in their mind. They're imprisoned in their emotions. They're imprisoned with their addiction. They're imprisoned with pride and sin. And David said, I'm in this cave, but God, bring me out of this prison. Because this is not just about the cave. It's about my soul being trapped. I feel trapped. I feel hedged in. I don't feel like I have the room to grow and do what I know my anointing can do. And sometimes when you live in a small city like Muncie, Indiana, it feels like a prison. You feel trapped in a small place. But you got to just cry out to God. But here's what I love about it. He said, bring my soul out of prison that I may praise thy name. Not bring me out of this so I can go spend some money, and bring me out of this so I can get my pedicure done, and bring me out of this so I can go to the park and the beach and go on vacation. He said, no, bring me out of this so I can praise your name. My one goal is to praise you, God. I'm in this cave, but what I'm worried about is I'm in this prison and in this cave, but while I'm in this prison and in this cave, I can't praise you like I want to praise you. I'm trying to praise you, but I'm hemmed in. I'm locked in. So God, bring me out, not just so you can bless me. Bring me out so I can praise you like I want to praise you. It's okay to have a blessing, and I know we're going to have a blessing after this, but before I get to the blessing, bring me out so I can praise you. I want to praise you to make the devil mad. I want to praise you to upset the demons. I want to praise you to put on hush mouth all my haters. I want to praise you in such a way that I give glory to your name. During this, I want to praise you, God. So I'm crying out to you to bring me out. The righteous shall come past me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. This is what I also know. If I praise you properly, it's going to bring righteous folk around me. Because evil folk don't like praises. Evil folk will tell you to shut up. But when you're really praising God, righteous folk will come around. And the righteous folk are going to deal bountifully. And they're going to see that you've dealt bountifully with me. They're going to praise God with me. When I get free, they're going to be happy for me. Because righteous folk are happy when other people get blessed. I'm not mad when you get blessed, because all that means is God is in the neighborhood. I'm not mad when you get blessed, because I'm next in line. If you in front of me and you get blessed, I'm somewhere in line. So I will praise God when you get blessed. I'm happy when you get blessed. And true praises know it brings the righteous people around. It's nothing like a good praiser. Because when you start praising, I can't help but praise. That's why I love being in the house of God. Even though y'all can't be in the house of God now, I love being in the house of God. Because even though sometimes I'm tired in my body, when I hear somebody else praising, it does something to me. I can't sing like they can sing, but I start lifting my hands and praise God when they praise. Because when righteous folk praise, it makes everybody happy. All right. Psalms 57. This is another psalm written in the same cave. It's attributed to the same cave of Adullam. Let's look at what he says. Psalms 57, 7 through 8. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. In other words, my heart is locked on praising you. I'll awake up my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. In other words, what I want to happen while I'm in this situation, in this crisis, in this cave, I want to wake up praising you. I want to wake up with a song in my spirit. I want to wake up with a pep in my step. Why are you so happy, Brother Andre? You ain't going nowhere. Yeah, I just showered and shaved and put pajamas back on, but I'm happy because I got a praise in my spirit. I'm still living and I'm still breathing and God's still on my side and the sun is still shining and the birds are still chirping and the wind is still blowing, and I still got a reason to praise God. I got a responsibility to praise God. I got a right to praise God, and my heart is fixed on praising God. Yes, my heart is fixed on coming out of this, but before I come out of this, let me deal with what I'm going through during this. I'm going to endure it, and I'm going to praise the Lord, because the chains that seem to bind me, they drop powerless behind me when I praise the Lord. Amen. You're just one good hallelujah from getting your heart free. You one good hallelujah from fixing some of your emotions. You one good hallelujah from getting your breakthrough. It's in your praise. Verses 9 through 11. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. David is stuck in a cave writing about, I'm going to praise God amongst the people and praise God amongst the nations. Basically said, when I come out of this, and I am going to be the king that I know I'm going to be, I'm not going to stop my praise. I'm not just praising you because I'm in a bad situation. That's the problem with some of us. We only praise God in a bad situation. And then once the situation turns and we're doing well, we don't know how to praise God. But David said, I can't wait to praise you amongst the people. I can't wait to praise you amongst the nations. I know some of y'all can't wait to get back to church and praise God. When we come back to church, should nobody have to ask you to clap your hands and ask you to lift your hands, you ought to come running to the house of God with a praise, because you told God, while I was in the house, I was praising you, but when I get out, I'm going to praise you. I'm going to praise you in the neighborhood. I'm going to praise you cutting the grass. I'm going to praise you on my job. I'll praise you on the school bus. I'll praise you on the Ball State campus. I'll praise you in whatever way, because I know my heart is fixed on praising you. Why? For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. I'm not just praising you only because you're praiseworthy, but I'm praising you to exalt you. Because when I exalt you, I lift you up. And you said, when I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. And the world needs to see the God that I have. And how can they see the God that I have if I don't praise this God? So I'm praising you, God, so you'll be exalted. I'm praising you so people will know it's not the Democrats or the Republicans. It's not about a country. It's not about a gender, a race. It's about God. Let God be true and every man be a liar. Arise, shine, for the Lord is come, and the glory of the Lord has risen over the earth. I'm praising God because he's the only answer to the world. I'm praising God. He's the only solution. I'm praising God because he's the only one that can fix it. Because here's the thing that I'm worried about as a leader and as a pastor, is that once we come out of this, people are going to forget. They're going to be so quick to forget. They're going to be so happy to get out of this, they're going to forget God. But one thing you're going to find in Deliverance Temple, we're going to praise God so much so you can't forget God if you come in this place, because we're going to lift him up and lift his name up. And let me remind you, if it had not been for the Lord that was on our side, we could have died. We could have lost our mind. We could have lost our life. So don't you come in here and don't you put your head down, but praise the Lord. All right, that leads me to my last point, which I'm already working into. Number three, decide to praise. We have to make a decision to praise. So number one, we have to be enduring this during this. And then when we're now in the cave, there's some steps we need to be doing. We need to be caring for others. We need to be creative. And then we need to be working on that other one that I had, which was crying out to God in the cave. So we need to be doing that. And then we have to make a decision to praise. We need to decide to praise. Let's look at 1 Samuel 22 and 5. But the prophet Gad said to David, so we were in 1 Samuel 22 that showed us that he went into the cave, and after he made sure his parents were okay, then the next verse says this, but the prophet Gad said to David, do not stay in the stronghold. Go into the land of Judah. So David left and went to the forest of Herith. He said, this is not, you're not going to stay here forever. But when you come out of here, I want you to go to the land of Judah. If you know anything about biblical history, Judah means praise. So you have to make a decision. I'm not going to stay here. Now, I may be quarantined, but my mind's not going to be quarantined. My praise is not going to be quarantined. I may be social distancing, but I'm not going to be distant from my God. I'm not going to stay here. I make a decision to praise God. I make a decision to serve God. I like the way Joshua said it. He said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. As for me and my church, we're going to praise the Lord. As for me and my city, we're going to get our hearts right with God. We're going to make some decisions. We are going to decide some things. We're not going to stay like this. We're not going to be stuck like this. We're not going to give up like this. We're not going to quit like this. We're not going to throw in the towel right here. We are moving forward, but it takes a decision. Now, there's a lot of things you can do in decision-making process, because we literally have thousands of decisions all every day. We are literally working through all kinds of things. We are deciding. So you can decide to have a pity party. You can decide to stay depressed. You can decide to quit. It's your decision. But let me tell you something. If you want to go, you got to be like what the prophet said to David. Don't stay here. Go into the land of Judah, or enter into the land of praise. Decide to praise. That leads me to Psalms 34, 1 and 2. One of the most quoted scriptures in the beginning of services, especially in Black African Pentecostal churches. You hear this quoted all the time, but most people don't know it's connected to the cave. It was right before he went into the cave, and then in the cave, this is what he comes out writing. He writes this during this time. He says this in Psalms 34, 1 and 2. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Not just when times are good, but continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. And some of y'all already know it by heart, but verse 3 says, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I'm ready to praise the Lord. It's so crazy that we have shouted on this verse. We've used this verse to get happy, and we didn't know that he was in the cave. We didn't know all the hell he was in. We didn't know what he was going through. We didn't know what he was dealing with, but he made a bold statement. I will bless the Lord at all times. Yes, during the coronavirus, I'm blessing the Lord. Yes, during this quarantine, I'm blessing the Lord. I'm washing my hands and blessing the Lord. I'm disinfecting and blessing the Lord. I'm social distancing and blessing the Lord. I'm not scared. I'm not worried. I'm not overly concerned, because I got too much time blessing the Lord. And guess what? I can't wait to say, oh, magnify the Lord with me. I can't wait till we all come back together again and we can magnify the Lord together. I'm grateful that I'm praising God by myself in my home, but I can't wait to praise God with you. I can't wait for you to magnify the Lord with me, because God's going to be blessing us during this and in this and in the middle of this. And when we come out, we're going to have testimonies of how faithful God was and how good God was and how God made the stimulus money stretch, and how God allowed me to invest it and things worked in my favor. I'm here to let you know that God is a good God. All the time, God is good. God is good all the time. And I'm going to magnify the Lord by myself, but I can't wait to magnify the Lord with all of you. All right. So during this recap, let me recap real quick. During this, we're going to recap. Let's put this up. 1, 2, and 3. In during this, now, and decide to praise. I'm going to say it again. Enduring this, now, and decide to praise. So here's the recap. During this, we need to be enduring this. We need to be doing some stuff now while we are in the cave. And then we need to decide to praise. Put the 1, 2, 3 up for me. So enduring this, now, doing some stuff while we are in the cave right now, and then deciding to praise. I'm going to say it again. Enduring this. Now decide to praise. But here's something that you may not recognize, but the E in point number 1 and the N in point number 2 and the D in point number 3 spells a word called end, because this thing is coming to an end. But it's based on what we're going to do during this. And if we are enduring this and we're doing the right stuff now and we're making a decision to praise, this thing is, it has to end. I know they haven't found the vaccine and I know they're scrambling, but I'm not putting my hope in the scientists. I'm putting my hope in God. And this thing has to come to an end. And this thing cannot stay forever and it can't last forever. I'm going to stay in till it's time to come out. I'm not worried about coming out. I'm not rushing to come out. But prophetically, I'm letting you know this thing has to end. It has to end. There's some work we got to do. There's some praising we got to do. There's some ministry we got to do. There's some gospel we got to preach. There's some businesses we got to start. And we can't be doing it all locked up and all quarantined. Now, I'm not mad about being locked up and quarantined because I'm doing the right stuff while I'm in it. But this thing has to end. I speak prophetically all over the airwaves. This thing has to end. It's coming to the end. I'm not saying it's going to happen now, but it's coming to an end. Let's put this up as we close. It's what we do during this that determines when and how this will end. And when I say we, I'm talking about the church. It's what we do during this. If we don't want to praise him during this, then God needs to let this thing keep on going. But if we go during this, if we're going to endure this and we're going to care for people and we're going to be creative and we're going to cry out to God and we're going to make decisions to praise, we are going to determine how and when this will end. And while the world is looking to scientists, God is looking to the church and wondering, when is the church going to rise up and be the church? And I believe we're doing it. We're coming together and churches all over are praising God. We got people who are watching other folk churches and they're getting connected and we're coming together. And this thing is going to end based on what we do during this. Come on, let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, God, we thank you. And as you've given me this and given me these points, that actually spells the word end. You let me know prophetically that this thing has to end, but it's based on us. It's up to us. The Bible says judgment begins at the house of God. And so, God, we are awaking. We are getting up, and we're just like David. We got a king's anointing, but we're stuck in a cave. But in that cave, we're doing some stuff to prove to you we are ready. And one thing we promise you our praise won't die, but from this day forward, our praise is going up. We're going to wake up praising. We're going to praise you in the middle of the day. We're going to go to bed praising. We're going to put our praise on. We're going to put a praise on. We've been praying, but it's time to switch from praying into praising. We've asked you. We've commanded. We've petitioned. We've said what we needed to say. We've confessed things. So now we're switching from praying to praising. Now we're thanking you. We're thanking you for protecting folk. We're thanking you for drying this virus up. We're thanking you for bringing us out. And we're thanking you that the church has woke up during this time. And we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. To everybody watching me live, I appreciate you. Thank you. Remember, what you do during this determines if you'll have an after this. Goodbye. God bless. And we love you. And thanks again to our praise team.